Well, welcome to a special Greening of the Great Lakes segment on MSU Today. I'm Kirk Heinze, and with me to discuss some key agricultural issues that will be front and center in 2018 are Jim Byram, president of the Michigan Agribusiness Association, and Diane Byram, partner and co-founder of Byram and Fisk, a communications advocacy firm. And yes, they are related. Jim and Diane, welcome back to the program.
Always a pleasure to be with you. We always enjoy it.
Thank you very much.
Jim, let's start with trade. Reading a lot about the importance of trade, NAFTA, the South Korean agreement. Is that a big one for 2018? I think the answer is yes.
Yep. It's huge. You know, we pride ourselves in the United States in terms of by our production capability and capacity. And the irony is that many of the commodities we grow, much of the livestock we produce, dairy products we produce, whatever we produce agriculturally, we have to export a tremendous percentage of it. Lots of commodities talk about every other row has to be exported, every third row and some other crops we might produce. But the point is we have to sell. Our two biggest trading partners, two out of three biggest trading partners every year are Canada and Mexico. NAFTA's been under attack since day one of the Trump presidency. Even just rhetoric from the White House has caused the peso to be devalued and caused some of our, you know, valued trading partners to look elsewhere for supply. Even though we haven't done anything to NAFTA, the rhetoric has scared some of those buyers in those countries, especially Mexico, and caused them to look elsewhere. We're seeing that continue. The negotiations are ongoing. Seems almost that it's becoming a marathon rather than a sprint with the NAFTA negotiations, and that just continues to hurt us in those markets. Chorus, we had a fire drill one weekend where all of a sudden the Trump administration decided they were going to withdraw from Chorus, the Korean Free Trade Agreement. The pork industry especially would have been hard hit. Soybean industry would have been hard hit. Many of us engaged rapidly, and it turned around, but the problem is there does seem to be overall in this administration an attack on trade agreements, and that hurts agriculture if we see hiccups in any of those agreements, whether they're withdrawn or not, but just the rhetoric is causing us problems.
Well, on the plus side, it appears that everybody in agriculture is on the same page in terms of my reading, including Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue. So, I mean, the industry seems very united about don't mess this up.
Industry is totally united. We see some little things like maybe tomatoes coming out of Mexico versus some Florida tomatoes, some regional discrepancies or regional challenges. But the broad industry of agriculture is fully united that we have to maintain and expand trade opportunities, not limit them.
Diane Byram, you've been following water. I mean, water is important for any number of reasons, but particularly important in agriculture. In 2018, what kind of issues do we see surrounding water?
Well, we are going to continue to have the conversation about water quality. And the western basin of Lake Erie, is an issue that's not going to go away. It didn't occur overnight, and it is going to take decades. So that's going to continue to be an issue. There's also going to be an increased focus on drinking water. Now, the state of Michigan had multiple headlines about Flint, but it goes way beyond Flint. Rockford with some chemical dumping, as well as Ann Arbor. So drinking water is going to be top of mind and get a very high profile in the coming year. Also will include conversations about lead and copper levels, both in state statute, as well as you'll see that conversation on a federal level, too.
There are a lot of, as you well know, you and Jim both know, a lot of agricultural producers have been increasingly adopting green practices in terms of water management and water stewardship. You're even actually offering awards and recognition for those producers who are doing that.
Right. Sustainability efforts, those that are practicing what we call best practices. The Michigan Agribusiness Association for a number of years has had a Green Agribusiness Award that Jim can talk about in a little bit more detail. But yes, some of those conservation practices are extremely important to slow down the leaking of phosphorus. But soluble phosphorus is a significant problem, and it's going to take new research such as what is done at Michigan State University, to be able to give us some new tools in the toolbox to look at soluble phosphorus.
Well, Jim, Diane, teed you up there. Let's talk a little bit about those green awards that are given by the Michigan Agribusiness Association.
We're pretty proud of our green agribusiness awards that we present every year. And every year the number increases. And every year the kinds of things that we focus on change based on what the hot issues are, hot topics, or what we want folks to emphasize, if you will. We've talked about all the way from electrical utilization and optimizing electricity utilization, looking at alternative energy, energy efficiency. We've talked about water, certainly water quality and some of the things that we pursue there. We've talked about recycling, whether it's cardboard or pesticide containers, all sorts of things. The point is that we are bringing focus with all of our member companies to all these issues related to being more responsible in the environment. We're really proud this year that we're presenting 100 agribusinesses with awards, Green Agribusiness Awards, and we're the only state in the union that does that. We're the only state that recognizes that agribusiness has a special place in protecting the environment, and this just brings focus to it. And we find every year that our folks, while they don't like filling out another form, they're eager to see what they have done compared to prior years and what kind of things they can do, again, to help protect the environment. We're going to be here for a long time. We're not going anywhere. As I love to say, we talked about trade a bit, but the one industry you can't outsource is agriculture. We're going to be here. We're going to stay here. You can't move dirt, so we need to make sure we protect that valuable resource in this critical industry.
Another issue that's on the agenda for 2018, not only in Congress, but across the state of Michigan, infrastructure. Agriculture, in order to survive, needs solid infrastructure, particularly transportation infrastructure. Where are we with that?
Well, I love to say that, I hate to say actually, but markets are created by the ability to get the product to the market. And that's, if we can do that efficiently, we can attack markets, we can secure markets that we might not otherwise be able to. Certainly our railroad infrastructure continues to be challenged, especially some of those that are in highly rural areas or dramatically rural areas. Short line railroads, they invest a lot of money to maintain those lines, but they continue to have challenges year after year. We also look at roads and bridges. The state of Michigan has reportedly done some things to help improve roads and bridges. I don't think we've seen a lot being done in rural Michigan yet. That's a huge issue. And we also need to be talking about water, whether it's loading vessels, looking at things such as ballast water discharge, dredging, looking at opportunities. We need to do that. And unfortunately, we're behind the eight ball. We have more ports in Michigan, I think, than any other state in the union. And we don't ship anything out of here by export outside of the Great Lakes Basin. And that's really unfortunate. Grain, for example, that comes out of Michigan will often go to Indiana or Ohio to be loaded on vessels for export, while we would certainly have that capacity in some ports in Michigan if we had our act together.
We're doing a 2018 Agricultural Outlook with Jim Byram, who's president of the Michigan Agribusiness Association, and Diane Byram, a partner on Byram and Fisk Communication. Diane, let's come back to another issue, and that one is the Environmental Protection Agency. There have been some rollbacks. Some people would argue that the EPA has gone too far in some areas with respect to agriculture, but by the same token, we just talked about the importance of clean water and stewardship. What is the balance that the EPA needs to have or find so that they continue to support agriculture but also protect the environment?
Every citizen is interested in clean air and clean water. And the EPA has historically been an agency that based decisions on science. So I'm going to show my bias here, but one real concern I have is taking the word science out of the EPA. That is not in the best interests of citizens. I do think that we are going to see some continued rollback of regulations. If they're science-based decisions, I believe that's the balance. Agriculture has always said, let's not make rules and regulations based on emotion. Let's base them on sound science. Well, I think that applies to the EPA also. We saw this past year the EPA rolled back the Clean Power Plan rules and regulations from the Obama administration. But that horse was already out of the barn. States are taking the lead. In Michigan, we passed bipartisan overwhelmingly in a Republican-controlled House and Senate new energy law. And that energy law is the the roadmap for our energy transition. We're seeing in Michigan more individuals and commercial applications for renewable energy. Net metering is very popular, but there was just a Public Service Commission report said all-time high. At Michigan State University, we put solar carports over 5 parking lots. We did that because it made economic sense as well as it was better for the environment on campus. So states are already taking the lead. They're switching from coal to natural gas for baseload. They're integrating with renewable energy because it makes economic sense as well as good for the environment.
Well, you mentioned economic sense. A lot of people out there who are not familiar with agriculture may not know, but farmers historically have looked at different ways of producing energy, from methane digesters to solar panels to wind turbines, and they've always been open to innovation if it made good economic sense and was good for the environment.
That's right, and also energy efficiency. Michigan State has done a lot in terms of working with the agricultural community on energy efficiency, solar arrays, and wind.
Jim Byram, it's not all great news out there. The commodity prices have been depressed for quite some time. A lot of folks in the dairy industry are hurting. What's the outlook in terms of commodity prices for 2018? Is there any light at the end of the long tunnel?
Dr. Heinze, it seems like you're giving me the easy ones. You give me trade and you give me commodity prices. Commodity prices, we all know what they are. But commodity prices are determined by demand. We have continued to add volume to stocks, carryover stocks, every year, I believe, for the last 3 or 4. Our production capacity is pretty solid here. The other end of that, the trade side, has been challenged. And as we talked about that earlier, and that certainly hurts commodity prices. But worldwide, we've had tremendous production. We're seeing tremendous production gains per acre in every country that has a major economic presence. And as I love to say, one of the things you can do to predict commodity prices is watch world news tonight. If you see major weather problems in Brazil, major weather problems in the Ukraine, some of those other production areas, that could bode well for U.S. opportunity if others suffer. It's unfortunate, but that's always seems to be the case, that if others suffer, there's opportunities for those that haven't suffered that catastrophe. We don't see an end in sight, quite frankly. Our production capacity continues to increase. We are seeing some, within industries, some things happen that are kind of interesting for some and real challenging for others, and that is there are some cost efficiencies in some production sectors. For example, very large dairies tend to have a lower cost per unit of production. That's why we're seeing large dairies continue to expand, actually, while, again, Kirk, as you mentioned, some of those smaller dairies are not doing well. We're also seeing a challenge with some of those folks that came back to the farm because things were great here in the last 10 years, except for the last 2, and some of those folks are wondering why they came back, and we're seeing some challenges with transition because of that. Because that economic model that existed for those 7 or 8 years that were pretty special is not what it is today.
Okay, Jim Byram, president of the Michigan Agribusiness Association. I've given you a couple of tough nuts to crack, but let's talk about a positive development. Processing in Michigan expanding rather dramatically.
You know, there's 3 or 4 things happening here that are kind of interesting. First of all, it's significant to recognize that Michigan is a very diverse state. And that diversity serves us very, very well when you compare yourselves to an I-state or some of those where it's only a corn and soybeans or a cotton, peanut sort of rotation. We're actually we're very diverse. We grow lots of crops. We need to maintain that diversity all the way from sugar beets to apples to cherries and sure corn and soybeans and dry beans and all those kinds of things. And don't forget wheat. We need to be producing all those commodities so that we have the opportunity to hit when some of those markets see some win. The second thing I think that we talk about here is the entrepreneurial spirit. You know, I've always said the Michigan farmers have to work a little harder, and Michigan agribusinesses have to work a little harder because it's not as easy here to do what we do as it might be in the central Illinois or central Minnesota. So that entrepreneurial spirit is important, and because of that entrepreneurial spirit, we're seeing some things happen here in the processing sector, as you mentioned, that are kind of special. The Clemens Food Plant down in Coldwater is online. They're up to 85% capacity, I believe, right now, which is about 10,000 hogs a day is their ultimate goal. So they're producing pretty well, and they're in pretty good shape. That means we're going to produce more hogs here. Second, Foremost has announced a new plant in Greenville, Michigan for dairy processing. That's a big deal. That's going to be important. We also anticipate sometime in the next 30 days we could have a second dairy plant announced for Michigan as well. That'll be important. We produce more milk here than we can process. That's a problem. That hurts Michigan producers. We hope to see an end in sight, but unfortunately, even with those plants announced for the dairy industry, it'll take them a couple years to build them. So it'll be 2020 before we really see a whole lot of relief. Finally, the soybean plant in Ithaca, Michigan. If anybody drives up and down 127 past Ithaca, there's a phoenix rising there. I mean, it's really special what Zeeland Farm Service is doing up there, the Zeeland organization, the Musin family. The elevator, the grain facility is in pretty good shape. I understand this spring they start the soybean plant. That'll fundamentally change the game in Michigan on commodities and how soybeans move, and frankly, what we grow here. That's going to be really important. I think the other thing to recognize is that all the other fruit processors and handlers around the state are doing unique things too. It's not just in those sectors that are highly visible, the multi-million facilities, but it's also increasing layer production here. It's increasing broiler production here. It's increasing turkey production here. And certainly some of the fruit and highly valued crops are increasing as well. The point is, from a commodity standpoint, however, what we've seen is rail rates to move grain out of Michigan have increased in the last two or three years and increased dramatically. What that has caused is the basis to widen in Michigan such that we have some of the lowest farm gate prices of corn and soybeans and wheat of any state in the union. That's a problem for farm gate prices, but that also means that there's opportunities to feed or process this stuff. That's why you're seeing ethanol plants increase capacity. The Andersons and Albion doubled their plant capacity. They're a 100 million gallon plant today. The others, even though we're built at 50 million, are far more than that. 50 million gallons per year are far larger than that today. Whether it's in Caro, Marysville, Woodbury, they're all larger than they used to be. Riga as well. So we're seeing more corn move that direction because we have a low feedstock price for ethanol, low corn price. And we have low corn prices, low soybean prices, which means more cattle, more hogs, more chickens, more layers, and broilers. And we're going to see that trend continue as long as we have that basis as wide as it is. One of the reasons the soybean plant's interesting is that will narrow that basis dramatically as that price in Ithaca moves closer to the price in Chicago, because they're going to have to originate soybeans and get those soybeans to show up in downtown Ithaca to be turned into meal and oil.
Well, a lot of things to think about. We're going to have a last word here. Diane, to you, people who may not be familiar with agriculture who are listening to this interview, what do they need to know about the agricultural industry, not only in the United States, but in Michigan as well?
Clearly, in Michigan, as Jim talked about, we're a very diverse agricultural state. And when you take a look at some of the food trends that are going on across the nation, there's been just a lot of talk about what is on my plate and some of the changes with the millennial generation. So what we know is that millennials are eating about 30% of their meals in restaurants. They're very interested in craft beverages, which we did talk about, but Michigan is really coming to the forefront on craft beer, as well as our wine up in the Traverse City area. So we're taking a real look at food trends and how Michigan is going to play into that with all of our diversity. So it's pretty exciting to be in agriculture in spite of some of the challenges.
Jim Byram?
Well, I think what's significant is there's an awful lot of producers and an awful lot of folks in agriculture in Michigan that remember what I refer to as the 80s, when we had the last major economic downturn. And there were an awful lot of folks predicting, oh, woe is us, we're in real trouble. Well, we're seeing a substantial difference in what's happening in the countryside at this time around compared to the 80s. And that's because folks saved equity, they banked money, and they're actually prepared to weather this storm better than we saw in the 80s. It's also interesting to look at, even though we might talk about gloom and doom of commodity prices and challenges with trade, we've looked at recent land sales, and land sales are bringing land prices, or demonstrating or showing land prices that are not falling as rapidly as some had projected they would. That suggests that there are still some farmers out there that are doing okay. In fact, some that are doing just fine. There's others that have more debt, perhaps, more rented land that might be a little more economically challenged. but we're seeing almost the separation between those two sectors, those that are doing pretty well and those that are probably a little more leveraged and facing a little more challenge. But all in all, I do maintain that we're in better shape in Michigan than many other states. Our producers are in better shape, and that speaks to diversity again, but also because they're a little more entrepreneurial and they think a little faster, move a little quicker, and dig a little deeper.
Well, a lot to think about with respect to agriculture in 2018. I want to thank Jim Byram, president of the Michigan Agribusiness Association, and Diane Byram, who is the co-founder and co-principal at Byram Fisk Communications. She's also a member of the MSU Board of Trustees. Thank you both, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, and we should say go green.
Go white. Thank you.